Good evening for WBAI News in New York. I'm Linda Perry with some of the news for Wednesday, January 4th, 2017. Last night, a 63-year-old James Owens was shot dead by police in his own home in Canarsie. This was around 9:30 p.m. last night. Officers were responding to a report of an emotionally disturbed person. They entered the home. They say Owens came back from a back room, grabbed a 13-inch knife, and began to move towards the officers. Police say he was first shot by a stun gun. Then he was shot dead by police. Chief of Patrol Terrence Monahan.
It looks like, from what we're looking at, the taser didn't make contact with the skin, and that's why it wasn't effective.
New York One's criminal justice reporter Dean Memminger spoke with the Owens family. He said they said the police fired their weapons before the taser. Monahan said he didn't hear that. Why were there three shots fired, and can't the police figure out how to de-escalate a situation? More questions which need to be answered. This was the second recent incident of a death by police. The other was an 18-year-old, Joshua Martino. Police say the teen was shot after firing a handgun at the Beehive Lounge on Atlantic Avenue in Brooklyn at 3:30 this morning. They say the teen turned on officers and two police officers fired their weapons. One bullet struck the man in his chest. He was rushed to Brooklyn Hospital but died. Chief Monahan.
Both incidences, the cops were confronted with deadly weapons, and they took action.
Investigations into the two deaths are ongoing. Meanwhile, Mayor de Blasio and NYPD Commissioner Jim O'Neill held a news conference today. They announced that New York City recorded its fewest number of shootings last year and narrowly missed setting a record low for homicides. According to police data released today, there were 335 homicides in 2016. Police Commissioner O'Neill says the numbers are not by accident. He says it's the result of careful police strategies and increased work with communities. However, Communities United for Police Reform have questions for the mayor and the police commissioner. They say while Mayor de Blasio and NYPD Commissioner O'Neill continue to tout progress in bringing communities and police together, citing neighborhood policing, new trainings, and reductions in the overall number of stops, serious incidents of police abuses and brutality, even police killings, continue in these communities with dozens of examples every month. How do you explain, they want to know, how do you explain the continuity of these ongoing abuses? What do you think is their root cause, and what have you done to address them? Those are some of the questions they want to know. You can connect with the group by going to changethenypd.org. And you're listening to the news on WBAI in New York.
Well, about a year ago, some guys were sleeping on us on the streets. And NYPD just discarded of all their properties for no reason. And we're looking for our rights. We have rights.
And these guys just got some justice, didn't they?
Yes, they did. That's why we're out here today, to represent.
And are you still seeing this type of abuse of
belongings? Yes, it goes on. It goes on every day.
What's happened to you?
To me, the same thing in the school.
Tell the cops, police abuse has got to stop.
Eddie Paradise, a homeless New Yorker, stands on the steps of City Hall today, speaking out against police who illegally seize and discard personal properties of homeless New Yorkers. Nikita Price is civil rights organizer with Picture the Homeless. He wants to let the mayor and the city know that homeless people have the same rights as every other New Yorker.
Over a year ago, the NYPD came upon some homeless people that were sleeping and woke them up early in the morning and told them to get up and get their personal property and move on. As these folks woke up out of a stupor and tried to get their belongings, the police told them, no, leave your stuff there. There was the Department of Sanitation along with them in hazmat suits, and they proceeded to throw these people's personal properties into a sanitation truck. We filed a notice of claims through the New York Civil Liberties Union, indicating that we knew that this had happened, and the New York Civil Liberties Union foiled the video footage to give proof that this is actually what happened, and this is one instances that we have said is going on throughout the city over and over and over and continues today.
It's illegal for them to do this, according to Brooklyn Councilmember Brad Lander. He turns to the members of the Picture the Homeless Coalition on the steps of City Hall, and he reminds them of the Community Safety Act, a bill which was passed in 2013.
The bill that strengthened New York City's ban on bias-based profiling. And one thing it did that's pretty unique that I know New York City has that almost no place else in the country has is it's not just race and gender and sexual orientation and religion, but you cannot discriminate based on housing status. So the status of being homeless or the status of living in public housing, those are not acceptable grounds, not acceptable basis for the initiation of law enforcement action or activity by NYPD officers. They have to have, as they would with anyone else, reasonable suspicion of a particular crime, and they cannot have the general, just like they can't, you can't initiate law enforcement action because someone is black or because someone is transgender. You cannot initiate action because someone is homeless or because someone lives in public housing or because of their housing status. That's a law we worked hard to pass together, that we're proud to pass, and that we have to continue to work together to make sure is enforced.
Today, the NYCLU and Picture the Homeless announced a settlement on behalf of three homeless New Yorkers who were kicked awake and whose belongings were thrown in the trash in the early hours of October 2015. Floyd Parks was one of the homeless New Yorkers whose belongings were tossed.
Floyd.
How you doing? My name is Floyd Parks. Thank you. Appreciate it. I'm a 62-year-old man. I've been homeless on the streets for a while. You know what I'm saying? I've been, how you say, constantly abused by the cops, you know, for years. But, you know, this situation here has let us people know that we're out here. You know what I'm saying? We need to be treated with respect. We need to be treated like any other person likes to be treated. You know, not have our property destroyed and damaged and just have us, you know, just totally ignored of our rights as people who have property and, you know. What they did was atrocious. What they did, you know what I'm saying? Thank God for this, for y'all and somebody listening to help this be known. Let people know that's what's been happening to us. You know what I'm saying? You know, it did, my God, it's just, you know, it bothers me to let somebody know that this has happened. You know, thank God for cameras, you know what I'm saying? That's what I got to say. It wasn't for the cameras to show the abuse that they have done to us. So what they have done, you know, right there on camera, you know, it wasn't for that, you know, to show the actionability of them throwing our stuff in the garbage and how we was told we can't touch our stuff, you know, and, you know. The way they targeted the homeless at that time was, it was bad. You know what I'm saying? We was hustled around like cattle. You know, we can't stay over here. We come over here. No, you can't stay over there. You got to go farther over there. And it is constantly moving us like you know, like we're animals. Like we have no rights. Like we cannot stand and talk to nobody. We got to constantly be told to move, told to harassment, told, you know what I'm saying? And thank God that, you know, that people are listening. People are understanding how much wrong has been done to us. You know, the injustice is definitely, you know, has been done to us. You know, thank God the Picture the Homeless and other organizations give us the opportunity to let ourselves be heard, you know, by the public and by y'all who cares about what's happening.
Parks describes the personal belongings he lost.
Oh, a lot of my, how you say, ID, Social Security card, birth certificate, you know what I'm saying? A lot of personal belongings, you know what I'm saying? A lot of property that, you know, that was mine. It belonged to me, and they just took it and threw it in a dumpster. Had it squished, you know. And I had to, you know, send away for, you know, give all everything, because you walk around ID in New York City, you go to jail. And I had to get all my ID just to come out the door. You know, stuff like that was totally uncalled for. It was, should have been treated that way. It's about time that people are listening and, you know, give us the opportunity to be heard.
According to the NYCLU, Floyd Parks received $500 from the city for his loss. Nikita Price says it's not about the money. For Picture the Homeless, the settlement is an acknowledgement that an injustice was done to a certain population.
You can no longer deny this because there is video footage, and that video footage has actually been out there for a while, that when you actually violated the Community Safety Act by going and targeting these folks. They were just trying to get some rest. And one of the things that a lot of street homeless folk have to go through is deprivation practices by law enforcement. Not only here, but we know this is a proven fact throughout the country. Homeless people are being moved. And then to add insult to that, you destroy their property. I know that Floyd had lost some medications. Some folks out there had lost memorabilia of family members. This stuff could never be replaced. So the monetary settlement is one thing, but that's not why we're here. We're here to let it be known that these are human beings. Everyone up here is human beings, whether they're homeless or not. They don't deserve to be treated like that. They don't deserve to have their property destroyed. Had that been you or anyone else, we'd be dealing with something different.
As Price speaks, there's a large blue banner at the top of the steps of City Hall. It says, "Organizing for Dignity. Don't talk about us, talk with us." Rachel McCullough stands with Picture the Homeless. Many are carrying signs which say, "Pass the Right to Know Act." She wants New York City's Mayor Bill de Blasio to make good on his promise to get the bill passed. McCullough is with Jews for Racial and Economic Justice.
We are honored to join Picture the Homeless as part of Communities United for Police Reform here today. And Happy New Year, 2017. New Year. 2017 will be the year that we pass the Right to Know Act. Am I right?
Yes.
What's gonna happen in 2017?
Pass the Right to Know Act.
Pass the Right to Know Act. The Right to Know Act is the unfinished business of the Community Safety Act. It's the police reform and police accountability that this mayor promised when he ran for office, and it's legislation that New York needs. There can be no trust without accountability. The Right to Know Act is two bills, Intro 182, the ID bill requiring officers to identify themselves, and Intro 541, consent to search, making the officer achieve active informed consent before searching New Yorkers. These bills are absolutely necessary. There can be no trust without accountability, and these bills are going to improve communication and increase transparency between the NYPD and the public. So 2017 will be the year that we pass the Right to Know Act. We call on the City Council to do the right thing and bring about real police reform and real police accountability. Pass the Right to Know Act?
Yes.
Pass the Right to Know Act.
Pass the Right to Know Act.
And you're listening to the news on WBAI in New York.
Who's gonna run the country? Who's gonna be in charge of me? Who's gonna be my man at the top? Who's gonna have to follow Barack? Who can fix the economy? Know what I mean?
The only one is Trump. Yeah, Trump and Trump, Trump and Trump. Yeah, the man for the job is Trump.
And he's gonna be the president.
And definitely nothing will go wrong.
The Cooties featuring Reggie Watts with Trumpy Trump. And this is the news on WBAI in New York. On Capitol Hill today, Vice President-elect Mike Pence, along with House Speaker Paul Ryan, reaffirmed that their first order of business in the new Congress is to repeal Obamacare. Pence.
And it needs to be done, not just as a promise kept, but because in the course of this election, the American people had a choice. And what appeared to many as against all odds, oftentimes with overwhelming opposition, our president-elect took his case to the American people to repeal and replace Obamacare, and the American people voted decisively for a better future for health care in this country.
But the two say it will be done carefully. Ryan.
We don't want to pull the rug out from people while we're replacing this law. The point is, in 2017, we don't want people to be caught with nothing. We want to make sure that there's an orderly transition so that the rug is not pulled out from under the families who are currently struggling under Obamacare while we bring relief.
Democrats today strategized with President Obama on how to preserve the Affordable Care Act, and then they held a press conference. Here's Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders.
Let me quote somebody who I suspect I will not often be quoting. On May 7th, 2015, Donald Trump tweeted, quote, "I was the first and only potential GOP candidate to state there will be no cuts to Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid." Now, the point is, Trump didn't just say this in passing. He didn't say it in the middle of the night. He didn't say it in a particular interview. This was a cornerstone of his campaign. He said it over and over and over again. Donald Trump said he will not cut Social Security, he will not cut Medicare, he will not cut Medicaid. Therefore, one of two things are true. Either Donald Trump simply lied to the elderly and the working people of this country and just made campaign promises that he had no intention of ever keeping. That is one reality. Or there is another reality. And that is right now, before Congress wastes an enormous amount of time, Donald Trump has got to come forward, maybe through a tweet, one of his tweets, and say clearly that Donald Trump will veto any legislation that cuts Medicare, that cuts Medicaid, or that cuts Social Security. And if he makes that clear to his Republican colleagues, we can save us all a whole lot of time and start getting to work doing what this country desperately needs to have done.
As the Donald Trump administration takes power, climate chaos is likely to continue. Ken Gale reports that the massive amount of fossil fuel and nuclear power being used throughout the U.S. is a major factor.
Large environmental groups that were hesitant to criticize a Democratic president are poised to flex their muscles against Trump's policies, even if they're the same policies as President Obama's. That's because the fossil fuel and nuclear industries have been running energy policy. It is sure to continue under Donald Trump, with climate deniers and multinational corporations influencing policy that might mitigate climate chaos. So far, though, except for fundraising emails, most large environmental groups haven't organized a resistance to Trump and his impending policies. But there is some progress among grassroots organizing, where people in poorer communities where pollution sources tend to end up are working with people in other communities. Pollution doesn't stay in poor communities. It contributes to global climate chaos no matter where the source is. We saw this unity with the anti-fracking movement in New York and with the opposition to the North Dakota pipeline in Standing Rock and in the environmental justice movement throughout the country. Pollution anywhere is pollution everywhere. Divide and conquer politics don't work as well as they used to. Another front against fossil fuel is growing large right in the WBAI listening area. It has the same coming together of indigenous and non-indigenous peoples, with similar violence from the police. Protests against the horribly named Pilgrim Pipeline in New Jersey have escalated. According to EcoWatch.com, an encampment by the Lenape Ramapo with similarities to the Standing Rock encampment in North Dakota is being erected near the northern border of New Jersey, 25 miles from New York City. The town of Mahwah, New Jersey is not allowing permits and have issued summonses, even though the mayor of Mahwah has spoken out against the pipeline. The Lenape Ramapo are an Algonquin-speaking Native American nation that before European colonization lived in most, if not all, of New Jersey and into New York, Pennsylvania, and Delaware. Thanks to activists, dozens of towns in New Jersey and New York have bans or resolutions against the Pilgrim Pipeline, which they want to build from Albany, New York, through a New Jersey reservoir and on to Linden, New Jersey. Like with Standing Rock, the methane is probably for export, since there is currently a methane glut in the U.S. They market methane as natural gas, but when it's in the atmosphere as a greenhouse gas, it's called methane. Those local bans and local activism are a major reason for hope that the situation in New Jersey won't get as out of hand as things got in North Dakota. The governor of New Jersey promotes fossil fuel, but local political leaders do not. New Jersey is also one of the top solar states in the nation. At one point, New Jersey had more solar panels per person than any other state. The solar solutions to fossil fuel and nuclear power are already in place and growing, despite opposition from the governor. Bayonne High School, which is an emergency evacuation center, has solar panels with a battery backup system. And when Superstorm Sandy hit, it was the only place for miles with electricity. So every emergency worker went there to charge their equipment. Local residents charged their cell phones there. A great example of the difference between value and cost. New York State put in a solar schools program a couple of years ago to lower monthly school expenses by putting up solar panels. From the website FAQ, it looks like a solar lease program where the schools don't pay to put up the panels, but do not get all the money from the electricity the solar panels provide. Hundreds of schools statewide volunteer to take part, and New York City has its own 100 solar schools program. But not many of them have their solar panels yet. Paperwork, money, and school administrations are slow. So far, 24 schools now have solar panels. Nationwide, every 3 months, enough solar panels are put up to replace an entire large power plant. This has been going on for 3 years. Compared to Europe, we're pretty slow with converting to solar. Several countries are getting nearly all of their electricity from renewable sources, including Costa Rica, Germany, Denmark, and Portugal. Italy, Norway, and the Netherlands are on their way too. As Europe converts to renewables, the market for the contents of the pipelines, bomb trains, and oil barges simply disappears, which might be the main reason the fossil fuel companies are in such a hurry. Wind energy is flourishing, despite the longtime opposition from Donald Trump and his cabinet picks. They don't like how wind turbines look and use the fact that they have killed birds in the past to try to gain support to stop them. But if wind farms are sited and lit correctly, the bird kills dwindle to almost zero. The Federal Aviation Administration used to require them to be lit with red lights, but has finally allowed the companies that erect wind turbines to light them with blue or green light instead. This will nearly eliminate nighttime bird kills at new wind farms and accelerate support for wind power even more. There's been a slow improvement in the percentage of electricity we get from non-polluting renewable energy, despite more support from local and national government for fossil fuel and nuclear than for renewables. That will continue, Trump or no Trump. To get involved with the fight against the Pilgrim Pipeline, go to stoppilgrimpipeline.com. Ken Gale, WBAI News, New York.
In other news, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau announced it fined two credit score companies $23 million, this for cheating customers. WBAI's Rebecca Miles has more.
The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau found two leading credit score companies, TransUnion and Equifax, had broken the law when they marketed the usefulness of credit score reports and lured people into expensive recurring payments. The two companies have been fined $23 million, $17.6 million of which will be returned to customers, and $5.5 million will go to the Consumer Financial Bureau. Credit scores are how a bank, credit card, school, mobile phone company, or a car dealer evaluates risk in lending you money or a product. And increasingly, your credit score is being used by an employer in whether to give you a job or a landlord to rent you an apartment. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau said the two credit reporting companies violated the Dodd-Frank Wall Street Reform and Consumer Protection Act. What the agency discovered in its investigation was the two companies falsely represented the credit scores they marketed, and the scores they provided were based not on actual data that was generally used by lenders such as banks or car dealers to make their risk decisions. They also found that while the companies claimed their products were free or only cost $1, customers were lured into receiving a free trial of 7 to 30 days, after which they were automatically enrolled in a subscription program. Unless somebody cancelled the trial period, they were charged a recurring fee, usually $16 or more per month. The agency said this was not clearly disclosed to customers. They also found that Equifax violated the Fair Credit Reporting Act, which requires a credit reporting agency to provide a free credit report once every 12 months and act as a central source where people can get their report. Rebecca Miles, WBAI News, New York.
And that's the WBAI Evening News for Wednesday, January 4th. The news was produced with Ken Gale, Rebecca Miles, and Reggie Johnson. Linda Perry, WBAI News, New York.